Wi-Fi party line.
Welcome to the Prometheus episode of Sci-Fi Party Line. Woo! Today I have with me Stephanie.
It's Nene here. Hey, Kat.
Hey, what's going on? So we're probably going to do like two or three more Prometheus episodes. So, you know, this is the first initial, I guess, dump, if you will, of the excitement and the giddiness and all that. So,
Let's do this.
Stephanie was texting me last night, and we like text a whole podcast to each other, and then she's like, "Just let me call you," and then I've like fell asleep. It was ridiculous. So today we're gonna podcast. We're gonna podcast the thing properly.
Okay, I'm ready for this. I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, let me start off. I was excited about this when I found out it was aliens. I didn't know anything, any backstory on it whatsoever, other than it was in the Aliens universe. I was told it was a prequel. I later found out that it was not necessarily a prequel, but in the universe itself. And I was like, okay, same universe, but maybe a little slightly different. I got so super pumped up and beside myself, excited about this movie when I saw Guy Pearce in the TED Talk. It was a fangasm like you wouldn't believe. I don't know. I was just excited because it looked so crisp. I was just ready.
Yeah, this is an example of the marketing department getting it right. The buzz for this was just months and months and months in advance, and they kept us going because they kept releasing little viral tidbits for us, and it just really got me excited to see the movie. Although, and I'm sure I'm among many, many fans, but the Aliens franchise is my favorite franchise. Aliens itself is my favorite movie of all time. So I've been waiting to see this. So happy Alien, to see the TED.
So Alien or Aliens?
Aliens.
The second one.
Yeah, the second one with the Marines.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Yeah. I know you and I were talking about this over text messages, like that you watch, I guess it's Resurrection all the time when it comes on.
Yeah, I just have to catch that one more than the others for some reason. It just walk by the TV and it's always on.
Mm-hmm. So that happens with me and Aliens. I've literally seen it like 250 million times, and that's a literal number. it's for me, it's like Jennifer Aniston's character in Office Space when she's like gets super serious about Kung Fu, the TV show. That's how I am with Aliens. I'm like, drop what you're doing. We have to watch this.
Oh man, I like it fine enough. I like it good enough. I mean, it's a gritty, grimy universe. It's always in a ship. It's always kind of grimy. So I kind of like that. I did a rewatch. I did Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection, AVP, Predators didn't have anything to do with this. But so I just, you know, did you do any rewatch or did you just go in fresh?
I went in fresh, and I'm kind of glad that I did. There were a lot of really cool pieces of this movie that I wasn't expecting. So, and I'm kind of glad that it didn't give me what I was expecting. I was expecting more spaceships and claustrophobia and maybe even a little bit of mistrust. I was expecting those moments where people who are obviously going to die are going off on their own, you know, on a fool's mission to basically die. Here in this movie, we're doing spoilers.
Yes. You know what? See the movie first before you listen to us, because we don't hold back.
That's true.
There you go.
Okay. Spoiler alert. Now,
Well, we'll start from the beginning. So are you starting from the beginning now, or are you just going to go with your thought? Or go with your thought. I'm sorry. Don't even ignore what I just said. Go with your thought.
Well, we can start from the beginning, but I guess to finish my thought on that, I didn't feel that way in this movie so much. I knew that a couple people were going to die, but it just didn't have that classic alien, aliens, and Alien 3 feel to it, even Resurrection, where you know they're going to die, and they're really not, it's not really significant to the plot. They just die for dying's sake, you know? But in this movie, the people who died, it was significant to the plot. And I really liked that a lot. And then, okay, so you want to start from the beginning?
Yeah, well, I guess we could. Did you watch it in 3D?
Yes, yes, I did.
Okay, thank goodness. I watched it in 3D too, as well. Or not 3D too, whatever. I watched I also viewed it in 3D, and I thought it was a great choice. I'm so glad I paid extra for it. The beginning felt like an IMAX film. It felt like, you know, have you ever just like caught one of the IMAX films and they do all these
3D and IMAX.
Oh, yes.
So great.
So 3D IMAX. I didn't see, we don't have IMAX here in Ithaca, but the sweeping shots and all of the water and the beauty of everything that we saw, I was like, oh my God, we are in for something special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did you think about like the first shots?
Oh, with like the shots of
waterfall,
whatever,
the
rock. Whatever.
Yeah. I know it's someplace on Earth, but we don't get to see it all at time.
Right.
So it's
well,
foreign.
It's cool though, because you weren't sure if it was actually Iceland or, you know, supposed to be on another planet. But you do see this humanoid being sort of drink something and then rapidly fall apart and melt away into the planet. That was interesting. The whole thing was really cool. I like how the opening was, where it was trying to tell us something, but it wasn't enough. You know, we had to watch the rest of the movie, but I felt like that was important, and it was really cool. Well, I liked how at first you see this ship, and of course I get excited when I see spaceships, especially clunky spaceships that remind me of my favorite movies. You know, Aliens, Star Wars, Last Starfighter.
Stuff like that. Wow, that's a good one. Yeah, good one. I watched that recently and it still holds up.
Yeah, absolutely. So I get excited when I see that. And then I got excited when I saw that. He kind of looked like Hellraiser to me, but
yeah.
that alien albino guy.
He's so weird looking.
Yeah, and you just don't know why he did that. Why he sort of went to the waterfall and then killed himself, basically.
Like, I wonder, did he know that was going to happen? Was he set up? Because he kind of looked surprised. Like, what was going on there? I really couldn't tell if he knew what he was doing.
Right, I'm not sure, but obviously it was important that his DNA was mingling with this other thing and sort of being deconstructed and then realigning with some other something. And I don't know if he was just kind of giving his DNA to the planet or giving his DNA to, you know, the primordial ooze of this new planet. You know, and maybe that's kind of the beginning of the engineer's story that they, the theme that they have. I'm not sure on that point, but it seemed interesting, and it kind of was juxtaposed to the further on in the story, what we find out about the engineers. So it was interesting, and it kind of raises more questions than it answers.
Yeah, I was confused about, because he looked kind of like a noble being, and he was kind of caring and spiritual there at the beginning, and then at the end it was straight up hellbound Hellraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wondered, like, what happened? Was there a coup? Was there like a split, something like a Predators, where you had the good Predators, you had the evil noble Predators as opposed to, so I didn't know, like, was there a split and we don't know about it, or I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I guess my guess would be that that alien at the end had been infected with that black oil X-Files type stuff. The black oil liquid that they had.
I thought that was the facehuggers or something.
Well, yeah, it was unclear. So, okay, so moving on past the opening sequence.
Yeah.
Then we get to the people who the scientific expedition people who are looking for the first man, and they find this stuff that's predated to the other stuff, and it's basically a star map, and they decide that it's an invitation, which I thought was an interesting, like, huge jump to take.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it didn't look like if you were warning someone, wouldn't you have like sad faces or people crying? Or like, I mean, they know, like, when people die in hieroglyphics, they kind of look like their arms are raised, they're kind of falling backwards on one heel. It looks like, don't do this. But, you know, he's just pointing up to it spiritually. So it's just like, it looks like, look at that, or go to right. that, or what's that? Look at here. Ahoy.
And they're all unrelated. Like, all of the cultures are unrelated to each other. They couldn't have known about each other. I thought that was cool. It reminded me of that Next Generation episode where they're trying to find all of the different, like, the Klingons and the Enterprise, and the everybody's trying to find this, like, map to what they think is a weapon, and it turns out that it's an alien race that, I don't know, that was had a mission of peace or something, and the Klingons are like, I'm out of here, or whatever. The Romulans are like, anyway. yeah, so it kind of reminded me of that, and it a little bit reminded me of At the Mountains of Madness, and we talked about that, and it reminded me of the story that inspired The Thing, which is Who Goes There?
Yeah, the lady, the star of this movie, Naomi Rapace, who was a Dr. Elizabeth Shaw, she reminds me of the lady in The New Thing.
Yeah, her hair was similar, huh?
Yeah, I think her hair was similar, and they just kind of, okay, maybe that's the only similarity. But I just thought...
Well, they're strong, and they're pretty in their own right, but they're weird looking, too.
Yeah, it's the weird...
Like, they weren't conventional beauties.
Yeah, not at all.
I mean, I thought they were pretty. I think I'm attracted to strong women, and I know that came out interesting, and that your male listeners will interpret that the way they will.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, I will always think of a strong female lead or a strong female character as attractive, even if they're not conventionally attractive. You know, you clearly don't agree.
Well, I don't know. I just wasn't sold with her. I did not like her that much. She just, I didn't, it's like, of all the actresses you could have chosen, why choose her? She wasn't that good, in my opinion. I mean, she's probably a nice person, you know, I'm not trashing her, but it just seemed like a bizarre, like, Ripley had a thing where I was very interested in what she wanted to do. She had this softness to her, but when it's time to kick ass, she kicked ass, and she had, you know, she was just a flawed human. This lady just, I don't know, it would, I just...
Yeah, they didn't really develop the characters as well as they had developed Ripley. I know that even in, I mean, we have to keep in mind that Alien, Ripley isn't developed that well. I mean, she does emerge as a leader toward the middle of the movie, or maybe at the end.
Yeah, because everybody else got killed off, so...
Well, but even before then, you know, she's kind of asserting her role, even though she's not the captain.
Yeah, and got smacked for her trouble.
Mm-hmm,
remember,
yeah.
She got smacked? I would not look me in my face and not pull her hair or kick her in the head or something, because that's just unacceptable. Okay, I'm sorry.
But true, I mean, we felt like we knew those characters a little bit better. It's interesting for a proto-Ripley. I mean, that's what this girl was. She was a proto-Ripley. The fact that I just didn't quite feel the same way about her character as I did about Ripley's character.
I
don't
don't,
know.
I was kind of sad that she escaped, right? Because if we have to do another movie with her on the search for the aliens and the answers, I don't know if I want to watch it. I don't know if I care enough about her.
I think I would watch it because she evolved. Her character evolved in the story, and perhaps that's key for the next movie. In fact, I started to think of her as okay after all the convenience sort of events in the plot line where did you not find that the part where she and her super sexy other doctor Malloy.
Yeah, her boyfriend who looked like a poor man's Tom Hardy.
Oh,
You
he
know who
looked like he.
Tom Hardy is?
Yeah,
Yeah.
he did look like that. Yeah, so she's talking to him, and he said something, and she just jumped on to like, "But I can't create life." And it's like, okay, suddenly we know she
Is
can't
barren,
have
yeah.
kids. And then randomly, like in 2 seconds, she's also 3 months pregnant, like with baby Cthulhu. Like it was just hilarious. I thought, well, that's convenient that they boom, boom, boom. She says she's sterile, they have sex, and then the next day after her boyfriend has problems with like iris worms, then she's suddenly pregnant with baby Cthulhu. And then when she like goes and has a C-section in that porta surgeon thing. Oh my God! I was like, I have respect for you now because she's like, come on, come on, come on, and she's getting cut open before her eyes, and then baby Cthulhu comes out with his little tentacle, and then she gets like stapled. Blood's everywhere. Squid thing is coming at her. She squeezes out, and she still manages to like make it out of there. And I'm like, okay, that is a Ripley moment if I ever saw one.
I have to say, it was that point that the movie went downhill for me.
Oh,
I was, it just took me, because everything prior to that, for whatever reason, in my mind seemed plausible. It was acceptable. But when I see this lady hop into, like you said, a porter surgeon and have a do-it-yourself C-section, and then she's cut open, pulls the baby, and she's stapled up. And she's running around the ship doing crap and, you know, running and shooting and jumping. And she winks every once in a while to let you know, oh, yes, I remember that I'm supposed to be in pain, but I've been popping pain pills and I'm still cogent. But blah. I was just, I don't know, that at that point, I was just like, it just felt like the line where the movie became, I don't know, B or something for me. Or
oh,
I don't know. It just.
That was like the turning point for me, where just in her character, she suddenly became badass,
She
and I
didn't
think.
come badass to me. I didn't believe her. I didn't believe it. I was just like, I don't believe you, ma'am. You, no. This does not, no. Forget what you're talking about. Forget your survival instinct. Nobody does that. You're stupid. So.
I just totally suspended my disbelief at that point, obviously,
But
because
it was such a jarring.
that sequence of events that could never actually happen. So I was like, okay, she's high on adrenaline, and that's why she's not feeling as much pain, and she just had to witness her own baby squid and then get out of there with staples in her belly, like, and then she runs into withered and old prune man
That was the second thing. I was like, you know what, I'm done. I'm here. And I was very disappointed that we didn't get to see the TED Talk and the great Guy Pearce doing that, because that was so awesome. I wanted to see that on a big screen. I wanted to see where that went. And all we got to see is him in an old man suit. Like, at that point, why just not cast someone else instead of the old man suit, which looked ridiculous? And it took me out of the movie because you waited all this time just to go ask an alien if he can heal you. What?
I don't know. I kind of bought into that just because of the.
Why? For him to be.
Well.
You can build a spaceship that can fly light years away, and you haven't built the tech that could do something for you.
Well, he clearly hasn't, and it's not that he doesn't have the money, and it's not that he doesn't have the talent at his fingertips. It's that he suffers from mortality just like everybody else. And so someone with that huge of an ego who wants to remain king, as Charlize's character said, isn't going to give up. And the most precious thing to that person is life. So, what money would you spend in order to extend your life, if possible? If you have it, I imagine that he would spend that money. It kind of touched on, for me, I was okay with that because it touched on themes that we saw in the other Alien movies. So we find out, not necessarily, I can, well, maybe. Maybe even an alien that, the company knows more than it's letting on. And then in Aliens, we find out that the company doesn't give a crap about ethics. And then in obviously Alien 3, we find out that the company doesn't care at all about the safety of humankind. They just want to study this thing, this xenomorph. And so for me, yeah, it makes sense that a person who founded this morally corrupt company would be this person, this kind of Citizen Kane-y type person. And I'm okay with that. I actually
It just
really
felt.
thought that the TED Talk was well deployed. So we don't get to see Guy Pearce that way in the movie. That was pretty cool to me. That was really cool
Oh,
because
it
they
took me
used.
out of it because I was looking so forward to seeing that speech.
Yeah,
I
but I
was looking,
haven't.
even I was like, even if we had to watch it on a telescreen or something like that via the past or something, anything, just to have it in there to not, because then what's the point of having Guy Pearce in an old man suit? Like,
I have a feeling that we'll see Guy Pearce young again in this franchise if they make another movie, which they probably will since they'll be successful.
well, then will they make a prequel to this then?
I don't know. They're going to figure out a way to bring Guy Pearce back, I feel. I thought it was really, really cool that the TED Talk video had nothing. I mean, it had something to do with the movie, but it wasn't represented in the movie. So it was a completely separate entity, and it was used to prepare viewers and prepare them for the context of the movie. And
But it
that,
drove me nuts. I wanted it.
for me, I was like, man, that's really cool. I've never seen that done before, where you're really and truly creating stuff completely independent and autonomous of the movie. Yet it adds to the experience of the movie, and it's outside of the theater. I thought that was really cool. I mean, Blair Witch Project sort of did that, but this did it on so many with I don't know. I think it just did it better, and so I thought that was cool. I wasn't disappointed. I was surprised. There were a lot of questions that were unresolved, though. So I have a feeling that Charlize, what's her face, this character, what was her name, Vickers? I have a feeling that she is actually an android as well. She never quite answered that question.
I
Remember
thought
when
the answer
sex
was
pilot
let's go.
guy?
I know, yeah, I thought the answer was come, let's go screw in the in my room in my quarters so you can, see for yourself. And so that was the answer.
Think that maybe was supposed to be a red herring. I don't know. For me, it's not like in the realm of science fiction that robots can't have sex. So I'm thinking
Wouldn't
maybe.
her forgive my crassness, but wouldn't her experience be a little different, or wouldn't it
Well, I mean, so her character, that was completely outside of her characteristics, I think. She was a hard ass who sort of wanted the approval of her father, which we found out was old dude, and Wayland, old man Wayland. And she desperately wanted his approval, yet she was ready to take the reins. We established that David was his quote unquote son, and he's an android, and he's blonde, and she's, I don't know, I just have a feeling that she's the female version of David.
I thought that too. However, she seemed like an ice queen for most of the movie, but she got, like, some of her character was kind of uneven, especially when she got a little playful with Idris Elba. With the you know, let's come to my room and you can find out and blah blah. So she started smiling and it was this whole little thing, and I was like, that's weird. Like, what? She's been hard ass the whole time, and then now they're alone. There's this little relationship or this little flirtation that we've never seen before, never got a hint of, and I found it kind of jarring.
She was triggered. I think that that was a deflection tactic, to be honest, because he's hitting on her, right? And yeah, I think he was expecting not to get anywhere with her, but then he said, what are you, a robot? And then that's when her mannerisms changed and she said, my room, 10 minutes. So I think she's probably desperate to lead people to believe that she's a human. And if that's not the case, if that's a crazy outlandish guess, then...
no, I thought it too. You know, but I was just like, I don't know. You know, but no, I see where you're going. It's not outlandish.
Well, I mean, I just have a feeling because, okay, so a successful franchise like this, and to have Guy Pearce and Charlize Theron, and to use them so minimally as they have in the first movie, to me, that kind of tells me that they will probably somehow make it into the following movies. And the easiest thing that they were kind of hinting at for her character is that she's a robot. Like that either she died on that planet, because we still kind of don't know.
I don't know. Alien ship landing on you, I'm going to think.
Well, yeah, I know. So she either died from that, and they have another model of her somewhere else, right? Like a Cylon or something.
Yeah, Cylon.
Or she survived and, you know, dialed somebody to come to them. Because I think I remember... Oh, and that's another cool thing about this movie. It does have ties to aliens. So it kind of answers the question of that blink and you miss it alien scene at the beginning of the movie Alien, where they get on the planet and they find a ship, and it looks exactly like the ship that we see in this movie. Mm-hmm. And it has that giant alien dude with the helmet, but we didn't know it was a helmet at the time. Mm-hmm. So you blink and you miss it and you see that. So I have a feeling that maybe she did live and called them back. Or it could be that set the stage for Ripley's ship to go and find the homing beacon or the distress call or whatever and visit that planet. And that could be that thread. But I'm holding out hope that Charlize is actually a robot and that there's more involved. Because if indeed Ripley's ship is the next ship to encounter this planet and this alien planet, then that means that Wayland Industries doesn't know that much about the creature. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anyway, either way, it's super interesting and I can't wait to find out, but definitely left room for speculation.
Yeah. I wondered, I kind of, after she kind of started flirting with him and went to sleep with him, if they did sleep together,
They did. In my mind, they totally did, because that is awesome.
So my questions about her being a robot kind of went out the window after that. But to hear someone else say that, I might think about it further. And she's, you know, that was a deflection. So that's a good thought on that. Let's go and talk about the android. So we get to see Michael Fassbender as David walk around the ship. He kind of gave us a little tour of all the rooms and all of everything just walking around. And I thought that was really cool. The ship was very beautiful. Like when the ship first made its entrance, it didn't do like all of the movies these days do the classic Star Wars bottom of the ship flyover straight ahead. They kind of did it from the side, and we got to see the side of the ship and then kind of the butt of it. And I thought that was a very unique entrance, you know, not the standard, you know, Star Wars entrance. So I really enjoyed that. Also, as David was walking around the ship, I also found it really distracting that he was walking around in flip-flops, and they were just like making this squishy noise throughout the whole thing. And I was just like, men in flip-flops are my pet peeve. And so to see like an android, he's all fully dressed, he's all looking sci-fi, but he has on thongs, you know, and I'm just like, what was the stylist or the costume designer thinking with these spongy flip-flops flopping all around the ship, squeaking kinda? And it was just bizarre to me. What? You didn't notice that? I mean, for you didn't notice that. I think the sound in the theater was so great because you heard his feet just flopping on the ground, just squishing around. And I'm like, oh my God, did like they put extra, did the Foley work hard to make it extra squishy and extra sloppy? Because you know how sometimes when people wear sandals like that, they kind of walk and they're sloppy and they got this little sloshing sound or whatever. And it's, oh my God, he did that. And not only did he have on flip flops, fake Tom Hardy had on flip flops too. And so I was just like, oh my God, we're on a brilliant spaceship and the stylist gives them flip flops. And the flip flops make noise as the character walks on the screen. And it was a little, it amused me because I noticed it and it was a distraction. So.
Well, the only contribution to this portion of the conversation I have is that maybe I didn't notice it because the effect was to give the impression that the ship was empty and that he was the only one, I mean, that he was controlling it. I enjoy, I'm sorry, I didn't have that same problem. Had he been an old person walking around feet close-ups, then I would have a problem with it. Or if he had Nicolas Cage hair plugs, then I probably
I just thought it was an interesting choice of footwear for this type of film. Like you can't run in those. And usually these sci-fi movies, they had all of like I didn't like Charlize's shoes when she put on that silver suit that looked was all tapered and tight fitting or whatever. She had on the worst clunky shoes, and I was like,
Oh yeah,
who are the
those
shoe
hoofs.
people in this movie? Because the shoes
Who
were
are the shoe people?
the shoes were terrible in this film. And you know, everything else I love. Now their outerwear, their shoes, the boots were fine, right?
Yeah, that was super cool.
I love their I guess spacesuits with the helmets, the bubble helmets. I
Oh
love
yeah.
those helmets. Oh my God, I'm just obsessed with how great the costumes look.
Oh yeah, and it was again, it was reminiscent of the Aliens franchise as we know it. I mean, so that was the takeaway I had from Flip Flop Guy walking through the ship was that everything looked, it still happened to look futuristic, but it had that kind of look and feel of the original Aliens movies, and
Yes.
I really loved it. It actually a little bit reminded me of Solaris, but not the George Clooney one, the Russian one.
Yeah, the
And
restaurant.
it reminded me of the Space Odyssey, and it
Yeah.
reminded me of Moon.
Yes, I thought that too. I was like, oh my God, this is like Moon. It felt like Moon. And you know, when David was in there talking to Guy Pearce on his helmet and he was just talking and his thing, he was in that same white room like the original android was in Alien. It was a white room similar to that, and I kind of like was impressed by that.
Yeah,
So.
and they were all very subtle, but it kind of was a statement of this is the science fiction that you know, Get comfortable because you're going to start to know the look and feel of this. Yet this story is going to be slightly different for you. You're going to enjoy it. And I did. I also loved that guy's helmet, the light. It looked very 50s science fiction.
Yes.
When he turned around, it was all sleek, and then the glasses. It looked very sort of comic book, 50s comic book, though, like weird fiction, weird science. And so, I appreciated that as an audience member. I really appreciated all of the nods to all of these great science fiction works of the past. And it kind of wove a nice little thread throughout the movie, and it kind of connected everything together, which I thought that was really well done. And then the flip-flops didn't bother me. The outer suits were so cool because that was reminiscent of the prior Aliens movies as well. And even the characters were a little bit reminiscent of the prior Alien movies. That's where it kind of diverges from Moon and 2001 all these other ones that we've talked about. And it comes back to the Aliens franchise, that cargo loader, whatever, the first Alien movie. That crew, they were just regular people shooting the breeze, vulgar, making bets, celebrating Christmas,
talking about
stuff, right?
Yeah, they was talking about, I'm here to get paid, and those people say, I'm here to get paid. So it was in all the movies, and they were just a ragtag crew of just a bunch of people, and I appreciated that. You had the the rebellious guy who like put nicotine and smoke in his suit, rigged it in a fashion to do that. That was funny. But you knew when those guys got separated from the crew because of the silica storm that they were going to die. I was hoping they wouldn't, but
when they're like, I'm not going to die. You guys can go into this creepy room. We're going to see you later. And then they're the ones that end up dying.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous. Like, how did you not make it to the ship already? What happened? You just, we got lost. Did we pass this tomb already? Or we passed this whatever? And I'm just like, oh dear. Because you thought that was the first thing I thought. I was like, oh my god, smart characters, they're getting the heck out of Dodge. Yes, I love it. And then the second thing that I thought was awesome was Charlize, when she said, something's wrong with fake Tom Hardy and we're coming back to the ship. And she was like, I'm going out. You're not bringing him on the ship. Because they always bring the people back on the ship. And
that
ticked me off. I think I even tweeted that. And then I was just it was so refreshing to say that you're not coming on the ship and I'm going to burn your ass alive.
Right.
I love
it. Well, and the fact that he gave over too. I mean, he recognized that was the right thing to do. It that was interesting.
The right thing to do, especially if they don't have like a secondary
quarantine protocol.
Yeah, if they don't have an outer one where they can just kind of be like on the edge of the ship and they don't affect the rest of the ship, then you can't come on the ship. You just can't do it. I don't care how much you're hurting. I don't care what. You can't do it if you're infected. I won't do it if I'm infected. Kill me.
Right, and they kind of cut that off at the pass, which was really cool. I loved, though, that those hologram things.
Yes!
That kind of reminded me of Alien versus Predator a little bit, when you saw those giant things running through. I thought, is this where they're kind of tying the AVP world in, the universe in, maybe? Because we find out, much like we do in At the Mountains of Madness, that this sort of first alien race is experimenting on things and creating different life forms or whatever, or maybe even collecting sort of dangerous life forms. It's unclear, but it might be a military experiment or something like that. Kind of a weapon. And so we've see a few dangerous life forms in there. So there's that black oil from the X-Files, and then there's that penis snake. And then, well, and then they have, like, full-on Dark Young out of Call of Cthulhu, like, comes out. And then we have Baby Cthulhu is there, too. Yeah, it's, like, just a fun group of little freak monsters.
A menagerie of mad.
Well, it's true. And it actually a little bit reminded me of Cabin in the Woods, where they had like these little chambers or apartments of beastly animals, terrifying things from beyond and arcane knowledge. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God. But yeah, back to the holograms. I love when David saw the whole float around planets and the universe and the star map, the 3D star map, and he was just dancing in it or, you know, looking at it with wonder, and the squishy knobs for the pilot and his seed and all that stuff. I was thinking to myself, the set design on this movie is magnificent.
Yes, it is. It's like
goodness.
It looked like a Lady Gaga concert. Like, it was amazing. I was thoroughly entertained. It was just like, oh my God, this is so cool. And then you noticed, you know, that whole universe, it must have been the, you know, the charted universe of this alien race. And these little lines, you find out that they're just tiny solar systems. And you're like, oh, this is just super cool.
Yeah.
And the music is swelling, and you've got this kind of fear, or not fear, but this feeling of wonderment, and then he grabs the earth and he like plucks it out of its order, and like an apple or something. I thought that was super cool, and obviously tons of symbolism, which is throughout this entire movie, starting with Prometheus and the story of Prometheus. Mm-hmm. But so well done.
Yeah, it was so well, because I've seen this once before. It was like maybe the one of the first few episodes of Stargate SG-1, and Michael Shanks, Daniel Jackson, went to some planet like that, and he saw something very similar, and I was always in love with it, and I hadn't seen anything that really topped it until Prometheus. So this is, except it wasn't planets on Stargate, it was the elements.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
so it was awesome. So I loved the way this looked, and I mean the whole H.R. Giger wet dream, that was that spaceship room or pilot room or whatever, it was just it was magnificent. It was awesome. It was fantastic. I can't say enough good things about how that looked.
Exactly. I can't say enough good things about how some of the characters were really well developed, like David, and how he's not sharing all of the stuff, like that all of his knowledge, how he's sort of completely understands their language, and he's turning on rooms, and he's turning on these, like, I guess security cameras. I don't know what else would explain the holograms. That just recorded memory of these people. So obviously it harkens back to the first android that went nutso on Alien, because, and remember, the first android, well, I guess David is the proto android, but the first android that we knew was saying, oh no, that was my prior models. And then even Bishop was like, my prior models had issues or whatever. Well, now we're seeing David, right? And he's got serious issues.
Oh my God, he was cracking jokes, and they were dry. And poor Elizabeth Shaw, she's like seriously, if a woman walks into a room stumbling and bloody and half naked, you kind of help her. Right? Well, especially if she has staples in her stomach. Yeah, giving her a robe is cool, but like wiping her down, trying, what happened? And then all you say, yeah, I didn't think you had it in you to get that thing out of you. You know, I'm just like, right. What the fuck?
Well, doesn't have any empathy for this person, and he's kind of pissed off that, you know, she managed to be the bigger hero and get out of the, like, do the heroic thing. He underestimated her. And the interesting thing is that throughout the whole movie, he's been doing some questionable stuff.
Yeah,
Like,
like blonding his hair, watching, what was that, MASH?
oh, that was MASH. Oh my God. That was
Watching?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what that was. I've never seen that. It looked like MASH to me, and I was just like, what is going
Jesus
on?
God. No, that was not
You know, it would have been better for me if it was MASH.
Oh my God, you, every time we talk, you make me feel 90 years old. That was not MASH. So, no, that was Lawrence of Arabia, and he's trying to be like the lead character, and he's looking at her dream. Like, it's just
That's
interesting. He's
creepy.
got his own sort of agenda going on. Obviously, he wants to please his father figure, old man Wayland,
Snow cup.
but he's just doing some questionable things, and you're wondering if that's just a projection of Wayland himself. You know, he's built this quote unquote son, and maybe because Wayland himself isn't the best human, it kind of follows then that your creation isn't going to be the best android, morally speaking. So
Well, I watched the link you sent me, Wayland Industries. I'll put the link in the show notes. And I watched the bit on David. And he specifically said that he was programmed to do things that humans might find distasteful or be disturbed by. And he's not really bothered by things like ethics. And I was just like,
yes,
wow, this guy.
for real. I was, yes, that is a good thing to watch, because when he's sitting there crying, when the person off screen says, "What makes you sad?" and he's talking about wars and genocides and all this stuff, and he's like leaking. I mean, he's crying,
I know.
and then he's like, "I can understand these emotions, but I don't feel them." Just like, okay. So back to the movie where he's displaying this kind of questionable ethics. He talks to his father figure, who tells him to do something bad. And then he opens up the slime vials that he has secretly taken back from this mound, this war experiment mound from the engineers or the aliens, and it's this black gold liquid stuff, and he doesn't know what it does, so he just decides to experiment on unsuspecting crew member. Like, that's just crazy, you know? I thought, holy crap, that's when the point in the movie where I was like, okay, this Ridley Scott just does not like androids. Doesn't like them. And so then, what'd you say? Poor man's Tom Hardy.
In
But
his
he gets
flip-flops.
infected. He's infected with the black oil that gives him Cthulhu seed. Pregnant, sterile lady. Oh, ooh, that was so cool. I thought that was awesome.
It to me, it's just like it was so arty and beautiful prior to the do-it-yourself cesarean, and after that, it just became, run-of-the-mill horror movie. And I don't know, it's just like some it was beautiful, and then all of a sudden, we see the guy pissing. It's just like elegant, beautiful, oh my God, experience, and now let's just take a shit on it. And maybe after a second viewing, I'll feel differently. But I literally jumped in my seat a few times, and that's literal. Nini, and not and I was sitting with my mouth gaping open at times. It was just, I don't know what I wanted. Like, I've seen Aliens. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not saying I'm disappointed, but I was just looking for something else.
That's interesting. I thought that I would have your experience. So I was bracing myself for basically another Alien Resurrection,
Oh,
because
wow.
that to me is, I don't
What's
even
wrong with that one? Because I've seen it so many times that I don't really know what was wrong with it.
I don't even count that movie
Like, what
as
was
part of
wrong with it? Was okay, I mean.
it was no. For me, no. That movie was like the redheaded stepchild of the franchise. And like,
And not the Alien 3 Prisoners, because that's the one that everybody I hear hates.
I loved that one, but again, I don't know, it hit me in a different place. So I was expecting the worst when I walked into Prometheus, and I got something entirely different, yet I got something reminiscent of so many other stories that I really love and obviously know by heart. And it's cool though, because to know that they rewrote this script. So, like, the backstory here is that they started this in 2000, and I guess by 2003, the script had evolved into what is now Alien versus Predator. So they kind of stopped this movie, decided to work on this project, Alien versus Predator, and they did that movie. And then they came back to this, I guess, in 2009 or something, and they hired another script writer basically to rewrite the script. And I'm so glad that they did, because
It was John Spaeth and Damon Lindelof.
yeah, I'm really glad that they did, because they're obviously fans of the genre, and they're fans of the prior movies, but they also are knowledgeable of these themes that existed prior to Aliens. So it's interesting that you, at that point in the movie, you kind of thought it was peeing. At that point in the movie, when she's getting her, do-it-yourself abortion, I thought, this is starting to feel more like Aliens to me, or Alien and Aliens 3, actually, to me, because Ripley's always in these impossible situations, yet her character and her strength are getting her through, and her resourcefulness are getting her through.
I think the actress pulled me out of it because I would believe Ripley here, but I didn't believe her. So it was her for
I
me that
agree.
I didn't believe her. I didn't feel it or something. I don't know. Maybe I just don't think I liked her.
I can see that, actually. I can see a person who wanted a Ripley, and who, if given Ripley in that situation, would totally buy into it and believe it.
I didn't even have to necessarily have Ripley. It's just that I want to believe you, and I didn't believe her. I could not suspend my belief for her because she just,
Well,
I
she
can't
was
put
a
it into
wooden
words.
character pretty much up until just three scenes prior to that. Literally, we didn't care. I didn't really ha I cared more about the Mohawk dude who died with the tobacco implement in his suit than I cared more about the penis monster than I cared about her. And until then, she
That's what
randomly
she said.
Nice. That is quote for the show right there. And scene. Yeah, so I cared more about other characters than her. And I certainly didn't care about Tom Hardy wannabe. Then suddenly they're having
Spent
this
half the
gorgeous.
movie trying to figure out if that was him or not. And I was like, well, it's no British
Yeah.
accent, so, but why does he look so different? That's
Yeah.
not Tom Hardy. Is it? It's not. Or maybe it's, and so that was distracting.
Yeah. Well, for me, I was just like, you know how George Lucas has like super convenient dialogue, and it's kind of like, okay. and you're like, okay, well, so I'm totally in love with this franchise, so I'll go with it. That's how I felt with their dialogue about the babies, and I'm like, okay, random. She got upset. Like, she just made that leap. He was saying something completely unrelated and kind of meaningful, actually. And then she's all like, but then I can't have babies. And I'm like, okay, George Lucas dialogue. They have sex, and I'm like, okay, there's gotta be a baby involved now, because we know that he's got retina worms or whatever that is. And so, again, this all happens bam, bam, bam in like three scenes, and suddenly she's getting an exorcism from her belly. I think it was successful for me because it was reminiscent of something Ripley would be going through in an Aliens movie. So
No, well, I mean, then I think too, because it's like, why am I seeing her guts? This can't possibly happen. You can't slice open a person's gut. She didn't even bleed out. I mean, it was barely any blood pulled
sterile.
out of it. What?
She was shooting crap into her neck, like, and then she was bloody by the end, like,
No, it was just
freaking.
like splotches of blood only from the baby Cthulhu running around trying to escape. And then she didn't, like say.
Was so nasty.
So elegant before that. Like, I mean, even the guys who died, it was just like, okay, that's classic horror. But I didn't think they were gonna go like full frontal, right? Because that's basically what it was. Like, you'll see some, like, it was like side boob and thigh and stuff like that. And then it was full on vagina with the do it yourself abortion. And I was just like, whoa, why am I seeing this? And it's, I didn't want to see that. It was just, I don't know, it was vulgar. I didn't want to see it. But I was like,
Loving it. I
I know.
loved
And then
it.
my problem is, well, Kat, you've seen these movies, you know how they roll. What the F were you expecting? So there's some issues with my expectations.
Well, I will agree with you in that the first half of the movie didn't feel anything like the previous Aliens movies that we've seen. I will agree with you. I'm very glad that it didn't, though, because
I agree.
it added so much to it, and it left so many unanswered questions and so many cool possibilities to follow for the next few movies. I hope that it's a prequel of a prequel of a prequel, you know. And apparently, it is, you know, kind of once removed from the alien. It's in the same universe, but it's once removed from those movies. Really excited to see what happens next. I mean, things are plausible to me. So, the mound, or whatever you want to call it, the special alien structure that they find, it was reminiscent but not identical to what we've seen in the other movies. So it has that organic look to it. It has that sort of hieroglyphic type feel to it, and those kind of scaly walls and all of that. But the eggs, those weren't eggs. Those were, I don't know, specimen containers or whatever. And
But then what would be the fault in the specimen container that it would start to deform when it heats up? Like, what happened? Do we.
well, they said something like it was a change in the atmosphere, and I'll believe it. So perhaps it was some sort of latent fail-safe. They sensed, the room was able to sense that there were foreign bodies in it, and so it started to, quote unquote, decontaminate. Could be that.
You know what
I'm
I
not.
thought? I thought when the ceiling was changing, I thought those were a bunch of xenomorphs and we were about to go, it was about to go
Alien,
down.
alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I thought that too. And then Penis Monster happened, but whatever. That was
I
cool.
couldn't figure, because I was like, what in the world? It looks like a scrotum or a
It looks like a
in
penis
the world? my God. Why are we seeing this? And I did not appreciate seeing all of the male oral going on, because like every alien that happened that was an attack went inside a guy's mouth, and I was just like, this is a bit much.
Face hugger.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
that was the bit of the movie where they're nodding to the evolutionary pre face hugger. Sorry, my dog's barking.
You call your dog Frodo?
Yeah, my dog's name is Frodo. I've got three dogs. One of them
Yeah,
is Ripley, actually.
always forget their names. All I do know that one is Briscoe.
Yeah, one's Briscoe, one's Frodo, and one's Ripley. That's where my heart is.
Wow. Okay.
Those three franchises. So, so I felt like, okay, this is the part of the DNA that what am I thinking of that sort of informs face huggers, later face huggers, because at the beginning of the movie we see that man drinks the or the alien drinks the black fluid, and it decomposes his DNA, or it deconstructs his DNA, and it kind of forms something else. So remember that black liquid was there with the penis monster, you know, so everything was all together, and then it killed the other people, so then it mingled with their DNA, and then that mutant guy that came back to the Prometheus ship in that weird way, that was all Japanese horror movie. Did you see when he was all bent over
Yeah,
weird?
that was weird because, like, what is it inside of the guy that made him angry, go back to the ship and start tearing stuff up? And that anger that he had looks like the same anger the ship's pilot had when he was tearing crap up. Like, he was just. Yeah, so yeah, that was weird. Why was he Japanese squat? Why was it the Japanese horror squat?
I'm like, why are you approaching this guy who is bent like that? What is wrong with you?
And
Why?
he killed off half the crew in that sitting.
Why did you think that was okay to approach Bendy Man? I no idea. I just
Idris
thought.
Elba didn't think it was cool. He came out with the flame torch thingy.
Yep. And he survived because he wasn't a doofus. Yeah,
And
so I
died
think the
because he.
whole thing was this weird petri dish experiment, and it's all contributing again. So earlier on, I talked a little bit about how in the previous Aliens movies, people would go off by themselves and like get picked off one by one, or in a couple, you know, little small groups by these aliens for no real reason but to see them die in these horrific ways. But in this movie, the two initial people who died were that was a significant part of plot. So their DNA is mingling with these other sort of dangerous beings, and they're all getting together to formulate the stuff that is that comprises the xenomorph. And it's interesting because the face hugger and the xenomorph, like that's just a whole bunch of steps to evolve into an alien. And I never quite could understand that. I'm like, well, okay, we got eggs, and we got this face hugger, and then from the face hugger we get like other egg, but it's internal, and we have a host, and then finally we get, you know, baby alien with two sets of teeth. Like, I never could understand that evolution. You
I
know,
still
why
don't.
exactly why there's so much involved? Well, this kind of helps explain that for me. We've got a mixture of several different organisms at play, and they're all contributing to, at the end, ultimately, this alien. That was cool. You're not buying it.
Well, I just still don't see how you saw the steps. I mean, I see that the guy, all of it contributes, and I see, but I still don't like, I never, and I still don't got, and it did not answer for me how, why all the steps. Like, why do you need to be a face hugger first? And then you face hug, and then you go in, and then you come out. Oh, and then, I don't know. Because it's like it goes through two incubation periods. It has an egg, and then it needs a host.
But it's a rapid incubation period, like we just saw in Baby Cthulhu. I can't possibly be 3 months pregnant. Yeah. So,
I was like, well, why not, lady? I mean, you haven't screwed since then, or is it like what?
because he'd been asleep for 3 years, unless David impregnated
Oh, okay,
her.
yeah, duh, duh, duh.
Yeah. So I thought, okay. So there's a purpose.
David, you're blaming David.
Well, I mean, he was creepy, like reading everybody's dreams and shit. Like, what was that? Anyway, so back to the evolution or the biology of the possible biology of this creature. So the little snaky thing, that's how it needs to procreate, right? It
Wait,
needs to
now,
go down.
how is that? The snaky thing gets onto the human. Oh, because so the snaky thing is the face hugger.
Yeah, the snaky thing is like the proto face hugger.
Proto face hugger, and it comes
And
in an egg.
black goldy thing must be sort of the elixir of life, but like but not in a good way. So it must be the glue that holds everything together, right? And then so the black goldy thing mingles the DNA of one dude, and the face hugger, and then the other dude, I don't know what happened to him, the mutant guy with the
Yeah.
bendy. I don't know why, but
He was
anyway,
pure, though.
he had his head was all weird. He came back with a big weird head, and he was super angry. So that's how the
And he
black.
reminded me of the engineers, so I'm thinking like maybe they evolved that way or
Well,
something.
yeah, maybe that's how they were infected. They were
Yeah.
infected by the black stuff, and not any, and it wasn't involved in the bit with the penis guy, the penis thing. But then the other part of it is that when other guy was
Fake
infected,
Tom Hardy.
yeah. Then he impregnates what's her face. So that's the part where it's the incubation period. And you know that thing was gonna escape from her belly if she had let it go on any further. You know, eventually that thing would have come out of her belly. So that's kind of that portion. And so we have that horrific experiment, Cthulhu
Yeah,
experiment
but then
that.
it turns into a Cthulhu then. So that's three steps. So it's first the black goo, then it's the penis thing, then or no, wait. No, it's the because Tom Hardy went black goo injected into his system, then he impregnates her, then she has a thing, then the thing explodes to a big Cthulhu, then he kind of body hugs instead of face hugs.
But you notice
The
he's
engineer.
got the Cthulhu thing at the end killed off the engineer in a similar way.
To a face hugger?
Yeah. That was
Okay.
like a massive face hugger at the
Is
end.
a body hugger. Body hug, and
It
then
was
Xenomorph
a
come pops up out of his body with, I don't know, that ending. I was just like, what? Oh,
Well, for
it was a little
me, it
painful.
was like seriously Lovecraftian. But other than that, and I loved it. I'm like, oh my God, you guys hired some people who true for like everything that I play. Every game that I play, and so I saw that, and then it had like this tentacle thing come out. So to me, that's the part of the alien. Somehow it evolves. That's all we know. Because
Yeah.
when Alien comes around, when that when the cargo loader with Ripley on it comes around. At that point, the ship has been lined with eggs, similar to the way the vases or the vials or whatever they are lined up. You got to think that that environment informed the way the evolved creature that we finally end up with, which is that kind of proto-alien that happens at the end, that environment sort of helped him or her or whatever it, you know, lay eggs in that formation. Like, that was what informed that part of the process. It's pretty cool. I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
It was a solid good movie. It was really shocking at some parts, and so
the part when Hellraiser comes out and you're like, why are you decapitating people? Oh my god, you're supposed to be this peaceful dude. And
that's what I thought. I didn't understand why he was so angry. Like, oh my god, I need to continue my mission to destroy Earth. Like, why?
Thing that totally reminded me of the Thing, because I thought this guy's got to be infected, that's why he's acting like this, and he wants nothing more than to infect the Earth with this black liquid stuff, which is what the doctor said when she's saying, Prometheus, you got to stop this guy because he's gonna go to the Earth and infect the Earth with this stuff. And so I think she kind of understands, and she has helped, what's his face? David helps her understand that this guy is not going to be good for the end of the movie, you know? And, I think that he must have been infected with that black stuff. And then it reminded me so much of the Thing, because it wants nothing more than, you know, get out of there and move on and procreate. The cool thing, a cool surprise of the movie for me was that scene with the alien in his gear, in his helmet, was like the exact scene that we saw in the first Alien movie. And it was a helmet. That was the cool surprise.
I have to go back and watch it because I don't remember that. And I just watched it, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, blink and you miss it.
It's when
they're going through the ship, and it's like this background piece when it like pans back, and you can see all of the eggs, like the sheer magnitude of how many eggs are laid, and you see this kind of seat and this giant alien.
Oh, I remember it now. Okay, yeah.
That was the cool reveal about this movie, is that alien was more humanoid than we thought. I thought that was his face and not just a helmet.
Right. So you're agreeing that because Japanese horror movie squat guy was going all crazy and he was angry and stuff like that, he was infected. So we agree that the engineer was infected in the same way that Japanese horror movie squat guy was, and so that's why they both were angry, and that's why they both were trying to get the shit.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah,
or it could be very nihilistic, which is another theme in this movie, like we were created for nothing, and the answer isn't here, and why do you have faith, and that kind of thing.
Oh, that was obnoxious to me. I think that could be part of the reason why I did not like her character, because it seemed a little forced. It was totally Lucas dialogue saying for me on the end. It was a theme force, and it was just like everything to me with her was just forced. Forcing the theme, and then we're forcing the issue and baby and Baron, and it was just like you didn't need that. You didn't need the cross. We didn't need the whole Ebola virus.
I can see why they did it, because it tied together together that old dude, old man Wayland, Rupert Murdoch guy. Like, it was tying them together because he named the ship Prometheus because Prometheus was kicked out of Olympus because he wanted to have man to have equal footing to the gods, right? So Prometheus is kicked out, but he's a god himself. He just had different ideas, right? Mm. And then the themes and the question that arise there is, okay, so should we have the same footing as God or the gods? And the cool thing about her character is that she evolves past that. So at first it's a crutch for her. Her mom died, so she's got to have faith in that, and she sees that her dad has faith in that, and then her dad dies of some like Ebola outbreak or something, and so she keeps that as more of a memento. And then at the very end of the movie, she puts back on the cross when she decides, I don't want to go back to Earth, I want to go to where these people started. I thought that was interesting. I thought it tied it back in.
Yeah, but I was disappointed. I mean, it tied it back in, and it was nice. It was a neat bow, but then I groaned because it's like, oh my god, if they have to do a movie, we have to deal with this lady again.
Well, maybe not. I mean, remember at the beginning of Aliens 3, I was pissed off when I found out Hicks died.
Yeah.
So mad. I didn't care if Newt died. I'm sorry, but
yeah.
I was so mad that Hicks
died. And they died off screen. It was just
right.
So
they died
terrible.
In the credits.
Yeah. The rolling intro credits. That was miserable.
It was so sad. Well, that could happen in this Prometheus second movie.
She's the only person that lived, so what do you mean? The only person that had the only other person that's gonna die may be David.
But we know that the company knows more about, knows more than it's telling.
Yeah, but David is no longer with any company. Both of the company heads died.
Well, but there was a...
Oh, you may be thinking that
Charlotte is... Right. Yeah, there's a possibility there. I don't know. I can't wait to see it. What? What?
Because, I don't know, I found all of their casting choices really kind of weird and almost slightly off for me. Because I guess I wasn't in love with any of them. And, you know, like how you're just absolutely fall in love with Ripley just because it's just something about her. And all of the other characters were just kind of iconic. Even now, not because you just see it when it was young and it's iconic. They just have a thing. So... Carl decides to text me 3 days later. Sorry, that's going in the podcast, sir. Wow, I lost that thought. I don't know. I guess the characters weren't what
they weren't as iconic.
It's like, what are you, racist? Because all these people are foreign, have foreign accents. No, that was not it because I love everyone, you know, whatever. So that wasn't it. I don't know what it was exactly.
Well,
but at the same time, I love the film. So what you're hearing from me right now is things that I saw with a nitpick eye and with a worm coming out and I'm gonna go crazy. Okay, sorry. I don't know. It was just something like this could have been tighter. This could have been a bit more impressive. This, you know, I don't know. Like, why did Idris Elba need a southern accent? He's British. Why did he need...
Yeah, that was weird. But I think they were trying to invoke Sarge. You know?
Yeah, but his... Like, he had an Atlanta Southern Belle accent as well as
it was bad.
And a Houston, like a Texas... And you know, those... Three accents
it
are all different.
Bad.
Yeah. So
I don't. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that he was trying. They were trying to kind of a nod to Sarge, because he had the honorable death at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody else got to keep their accents, so I have no idea. You know me, I don't understand why they decide to make people speak in an accent that they're not comfortable in, you know?
If especially if they're not that comfortable with it. But I do know is for some reason when like a British person is not really good at an English accent or
American
American
accent.
accent, that is always Southern, and that for some reason irritates me. Like, what is it about the Southern accent that they pick up on first?
I think that's probably the easiest one to pick out for their ears. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know, but I just makes me sad because being born and raised in Dallas, Texas, like, oh my God, is that what they think our accent sounds like? Really?
I don't know. It's just like I said, he was like an Atlanta Southern belle mixed with a cowboy and a Tennessee barbecue cook.
Mixed with this fictional land that England
I know. It was
is
almost as bad
real
as that
to.
accent from that little fan or independent thing I made you watch.
Oh, that thing that we shall not name. Whoa,
Oh, yeah,
you
that was
talk like
painful.
that, it's gotta be when I'm not here because I don't want any repercussions.
Oh my God. So I love this on thing. There's certain th I try to lower my expectations. I try not to be excited about this. I try not to have any expectations, but I had some. Those weren't fulfilled, so I was kind of disappointed. However, now that I see where the film is going, I get to see it again and accept it for what it is, and I think I'll enjoy it a little bit more because that's kind of how it is if I'm disappointed in something that I, after I, become one with what the story is and what the movie is, then you can go back and watch it and, appreciate it for what it is and not for what you wanted. And I definitely want to see this again because A, I had to use a restroom halfway between. And B, there was just so many things to see at the beginning with the ship. It was so many things I wanted to look at. So, yeah.
I'm definitely seeing this again. I can't wait to see it again. I think that if this movie were closer to how the other Alien movies are, I would have been a lot more disappointed.
Really?
I think that this was a really cool balance and that it was an origin story in the truest sense, and that means that it starts here, but there are so many more questions and so many more pathways to go down that it could actually stand on its own, and they could do other movies, you know, along a different path. So it's cool. I'll always Aliens will always be my favorite movie, but this, I gotta say, I really think that this is one of the good ones that I'll go back to and watch over and over again.
Yeah, I have to say that too. This one definitely has rewatch value.
That's it. That's it for me.
Yeah, so I guess, guys, stay tuned because we have to get Eric and Carl and Daryl and all the other guys to get their opinions in because I'm getting texts now, like, oh, when you're doing a show. But Stephanie and I were texting, and I was just, she had some great things to say, and I really wanted to hear those things out loud, out of her brain. So.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to talk about this with you. I could not wait. I texted you from the bathroom.
Oh, a TMI.
Whatever. You do talk about the bathroom anyway.
Guess if we see a do-it-yourself cesarean.
It's nothing's too TMI. And then the oral action with the
Oh
guys.
God, that was so miserable to watch. Like, I don't want to see that anymore. And they did it like three times, and it was like, okay, we get it. Like the one time I was like, okay, whatever, it's gonna go in his mouth. Where else is it gonna go? But then it did like two other times. Now it's just like, oh dear.
It's okay.
But yeah, I mean, it was alien, but it was kind of vulgar too. So
It was, but it
yeah.
was awesome.
And then I
That's what
feel like a old lady using the word vulgar and stuff is
I totally live for this stuff, though. It was just the right amount of suspense and gore, and it had all the Lovecraft tones, and it had all the other things that I like. tones in it, and I was just really happy about it. I was happy with the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I can't wait to hear what everybody else has to say.
You'll probably sit on that if you want to as well. I don't care. I'm not trying to separate you out from anybody. It's just that we're, you know.
No, that's okay. I had to be first.
This was an emergency.
Exactly.
It was an emergency podcast.
You don't text somebody 3 days later. That's not right.
Maybe it was 2 days. Okay, guys, that's our Prometheus show. Go to our website, leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet on Twitter at scifipartyline. Send us a message on facebook.com/scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.